Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. This is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn today. And in studio with me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Chris. And we are so glad that you are. It's great to be with you today.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And Dr. David Stoop.
Good to be with you, Chris.
It's great to be with you. It's actually been a few days.
We were saying that we haven't been together in a while. So this will be fun today.
Absolutely. Well, I want to start off today with something that I've been looking a lot more into.
Okay.
And that is this thing, wisdom.
Okay. It's a kind of a good thing to look into.
And the way that I think about wisdom is it's preemptive salvation. And here's what I mean by that. We're all going to need to be saved, right? We all need salvation. But having wisdom saves us on the front end from so much pain and suffering on the back end. And so that's sort of like, hey, we're always going to need to be saved.
Right.
But there's also experiences in life that it's good not to have.
Yes, that you can have vicariously, right? That you can learn from other people's mistakes, and so you don't have to make the same ones.
Absolutely. And that is really central to what we're about here at New Life, is providing not just recovery from life's hardest experiences and moments, but also wisdom for everyday living. Right. Wisdom that allows us to flourish as God has intended us to flourish. And so as the Proverbs tell us, as in our resources here, I encourage people out there, get wisdom. Pursue it as if it was the richest of the riches, as if it was gold or silver, or as Jesus says, a treasure buried in a field, and the man sells all he has to get that field. And so today, hopefully, we'll impart some wisdom today.
Right. And a lot of times we don't stop to think, you know, when we're about to do something, we might be able to do it. We might have every opportunity to do it, but is it wise to do it?
It's not a question we ask
enough. No, it's not a question we ask enough.
Yeah.
And that would save us a lot of heartache. You're right, Chris.
Absolutely.
Thank you for bringing up the topic.
Is that how we get it? By asking for it?
I think that there's the in Scripture, we do ask for it.
We're told to ask for wisdom, and He'll give it in James.
And then and I see two things. We ask for it, and we also pursue it. So the wisdom literature in Proverbs, even in Job, there's sections of Psalms that are telling you, yes, seek after it. But also do not, as Proverbs is telling us, rely on our own understanding.
Right.
And that we acknowledge or we submit to God in all of our ways. And really, this.
And that's the key, right? It's running everything through that filter.
And to not go into deep biblical studies here, but that really does go back to what happened in the garden, is that mankind decided that they would choose their own way.
Yes, their own understanding.
They would choose their own understanding and wisdom and not God's. And man, have we made a horrible mess of things.
Right, and they believed the serpent's headlines, right?
Yes.
They didn't dig any further to see if he was really accurate or not.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. So again, we're going to pursue wisdom. We're going to pursue it together. We're going to be on air for 1 hour. We're going to be in the studio for 2 hours. 1-800-229-3000. Again, it's 1-800-229-3000. Give us a call. We'll get to you as best as we can. And a couple of other things is I want to mention that coming up here very shortly is Every Man's Battle on August 9th in Sacramento. So it's going to be out here in California. It is, I just referred a person to it today because it is the best 48 hours of recovery for a sexual brokenness that I know out there. So stay with us. We're going to go to a break and we'll be right back.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi again, Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And hey guys, let's go straight to the phones here.
Okay.
Let's go to Lisa, who is in Westminster, California, listening on KKLA. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm all right, thank you.
How can we help you?
Okay, well, just to give you a little background, I've suffered with depression for decades, and we have a history. My father's mother committed suicide when he was just a toddler, and I have tried many different things. I'm on antidepressants. I've even had TMS treatments, some ECT. But I guess I'm wondering what you would suggest. Through my church, you know, I've been told that it's a sin that I take antidepressant medications.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
And most people will say, I need to be in the Bible more or trusting God more. And it's so hard because I know there's so many different things, that it's physiological, that it's spiritual.
Yeah.
But all those make you more depressed.
Yeah.
It's causing me to really struggle and understand why God isn't healing me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so what's the question for us today? How can we help you?
I guess I would just ask what you would suggest might be the most helpful thing for me.
Well, let me start here, and I think you already have a good understanding of it, but if taking an antidepressant medication is a sin, there's a bunch of us in a lot of trouble. For instance, everyone who takes insulin, because the blood sugars in their pancreas aren't leveled out properly, and so they have to take certain medication, like insulin, to level that out. What antidepressants are acknowledging is that there's levels of things in your brain that just aren't working the way it should, like a pancreas who can't produce the right amounts of blood sugar. And so taking a medication is just assistance in trying to level that out. And so really, it has nothing to do with your faithfulness or unfaithfulness. It has everything to do with doing proper treatments to get the help that you need. In fact, I would make the argument that taking an antidepressant is an act of faith to partner with God towards healing and health. So, Jill, what do you think?
Well, and it's using, you know, our brains, right, and what God has helped us to develop. And there's lots of different ways that God intervenes, right? And some people think that, you know, they kind of want to put God in a box and say he only intervenes this way.
Yeah.
If you read your Bible and pray all the time, that's the only way he's going to intervene.
Yeah.
When he uses all the things that are good in this world and in this life to help us to move forward. And so we need to utilize a lot of times a lot of different sources, because it's not always just one thing. And that's not to negate the prayer, right, and reading your Bible. Those are good things. But I'm always fascinated when people will believe in medical treatment except when it comes to mental health.
Yeah, it's and
clearly,
it's actually tragic.
Yeah, clearly, Lisa, you have a history in your family. This isn't just that you get blue once in a while. This is a long history of depression and running in your family. And so there definitely needs to be some interventions for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and taking a medication is like putting a cast on a broken leg. It helps to heal, because the medication deals with the symptoms of depression. And you got to get at the root of it, which in your case, the root of it is family genetics. The other thing I would suggest you do is to exercise, because they're finding that more and more depression is caused by high levels of stress that can only be relieved by exercise. So I would say take the meds and exercise.
Well, right, and when we're
I do both of those things.
Good. Yeah. And Lisa, does it help? Does the medication help? Does the exercise help you?
Not really.
Okay.
Lately, it seems like this last year, I know it must be a spiritual aspect too, but just the idea of suicide, just wanting, I mean, I know that is against what God would have. I have children and a husband, but the suffering, the daily struggle is getting so tedious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nothing seems to be working.
Yeah.
Well, and that gets really, really discouraging. And that's part of the depressive cycle, right? As things don't work, the tendency with depression is to see things through, you know, a very narrow spectrum and to be discouraged really, really easily. And so, Lisa, this is when you are losing hope, this is where you need people around you who can hold the hope for you. So I'm wondering if you are in therapy, because even though it's biochemical, you need the support to endure it because it's too hard alone. And all I hear is that you're getting a lot of negativity from those around you.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to build a cadre of people who are supportive, like Jill said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that may mean that you don't bring anybody in from your church because they're not very supportive. They're depressing.
Well, and there's a lot of churches that have depression groups
where
you can go and get support, you know, from others who have gone through it as well.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. And Lisa, you're right here in Southern California. There are a lot of resources
for several.
And I would just, I'm so glad that you've had the courage and the resiliency to keep yourself alive, because you're dealing with real, real pain. Well, I want to encourage you is please get into, if you're not already, into therapeutic counseling. Because a good therapist will help you identify the pain points that you're carrying. Because in the sound of your voice and the way you're talking, there is certainly depression, but underneath the depression, there's also pain. Much like Dave was saying with a broken leg, and maybe there's still some parts that need to get healed out. And that's one of the things that pain does, is it creates anxiety, which rips your energy. It steals your energy.
Yeah,
and
does.
Once we have our energy ripped out from us, that looks like depression.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I really, really encourage you to get into some good therapy, one that would help you identify your patterns and your past and put together a good plan. And again, especially what Dave and Jill were saying, getting a good support group around you.
I wonder, Lisa, if you've had anybody look at your diet, because that may be something that is triggered from generation.
I am really careful with my diet. I've read a lot of information.
Good.
I try to, you know, not have highly processed foods, or I watch sugar intake, you know.
You're doing a lot of the right things.
Sprouted grain breads and
Yeah, that's good. And Lisa, I want you to know there's a lot of resources out there. But if you feel like your thoughts are going out of your control and they're getting really dangerous, if your suicidal thoughts, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can call our call center, and they there are counselors there trained to support and help you. And that's also where you call to get connected with one of the New Life therapists as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for calling. We're going to send you Healing as a Choice, the revised and updated version of that. And so that really just helps you put your own healing process back in your control where it feels out of your control. So encourage you to look for that in the mail as we get that to you. Dive into that. Get some therapy. Get a support group. And know, I want to just end with this, that God is with you in this, not against you.
He does the long-suffering.
Yes, absolutely.
Where people fall short.
Yes. The story of Jesus lets us know crystal clearly that he gets into our suffering. He's not apart from it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, thank you, Lisa. Let's jump into another call. Let's go with Ron, who listens in Washington, D.C. on one of our great supporting networks, WAVA. So, Ron, how are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing good, and yourself?
Doing well. Doing well. How can we help you?
Well, I'm currently leading a support group, and right now we've gone through Every Man's Battle a couple of times, mm-hmm. and we're currently doing another battle called the Conquer Series.
Okay.
And just looking for what we might be able to... a resource that we might be able to incorporate after we finish the Conquer series and see what your thoughts were about that.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in here and then hand this off to Dave. But I actually want to add, do you have a time in the group where you guys can share honestly and transparently what is actually going on with your lives and your behaviors?
We do. We start off that way as part of every our group. We start off with prayer, and then we kind of break off into smaller subgroups. It might be two, it might be three people, and we try to change that group up each time.
Okay.
There's no set structure on that.
Yeah.
It's just whoever's around. And then we support each other through the week with phone calls and
Good.
Text messages.
Good.
And we reach out and help when we're struggling with something. I can just send a text and I get a lot of prayer support.
Perfect, perfect. Because to reiterate that, I just really want you guys to have an experience where guys can have the courage to be open and honest and the material leading you in that direction. So, Dave, what do you think?
Well, the material is not as important as the sharing, I think, in what you're saying, Chris.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be material on sex addiction. It can be on what it means to be a man. Some of John Eldridge's stuff is helpful. Because that's part of what we've missed when we struggle with sexual purity, is we missed what it was to be a man, and we still are a teenager, we're still a young boy inside. And so getting some help in terms of what it means to be a man is also helpful.
Yeah.
And what do you guys think about this, too? Ron, as you were describing the structure of the group, I know I've been in groups before where we've got reading materials, and we tend to do 5-10 minutes of reading up front, mm-hmm. which helps to spur and get people kind of ready to share, right?
Mm-hmm. Because what can happen is we can hide behind the material, to be honest.
Right.
You know, we can say, hey, I've answered this question correctly, but I haven't talked about what's really going on inside of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to kind of prime the pumps and then open it up for sharing is another way to structure it.
Right. Don't let the reading material take away from the sharing, though.
Right.
That's critical.
No, it's just to prime the pumps.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah. And,
right.
And Ron, thank you so much for leading this group.
Yeah.
And
so needed.
And may the numbers maybe the numbers of Ron increase dramatically.
And,
seriously, because, sometimes we really need to, what I call, democratize recovery. Continue to get it out there more and more places. And so one of the resources that I think can be beneficial here is the Life Recovery Bible, the Life Recovery Workbook. So we're going to send you that. We're going to send you the Life Recovery Bible, and that, again, sets up the Bible as it really reveals the 12 steps embedded within it. I found whatever a person is struggling with, that those can really prompt and help people reflect and lead into, again, those places in our hearts and our soul that we need to talk about and get out there and get support and recovery for. So, Ron, we're going to send you the Life Recovery Bible.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And just as a plug for you guys, I attended the Every Man's Battle weekend a couple of years ago. Phenomenal. But I was only able to do it because I had a, scholarship.
Oh,
and that was
awesome.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. I thank you
That's
so much for that, Ron.
It's for people like you, Ron.
You know, and this is why we do scholarshipping. Mm-hmm. This is why we offer it, is because of this. It's about the mission.
Right.
It's about,
and when you're at your lowest
health.
Point, you don't always have the resources, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we need margin, financial margin to meet the mission. So with that said, thank you again, Ron. May your numbers increase, and we will be back after the break.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yes, we're back. This is Chris Williams sitting in for Steve Arterburn. And again, we're going to be in the studio for a couple hours today. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, that's 1-800-229-3000. In studio with me today, the president.
Yes.
The president.
You booted Dave out of his chair, Larry.
Very briefly.
So we've been in the middle of this really exciting matching campaign.
Yes.
Give us an update.
Well, we're not in the middle. We're coming down to the
wire.
To the wire, and things are going well. We still need some help. We're 90% there.
Wow.
We have $32,000 left to raise. And boy, wouldn't it be a blessing if that could happen the next few days. So we're not coming to you on July 31st begging and pleading and pulling out my wallet, seeing how much I can do. Thank you for everybody who has been giving. We still need a ways to go, so please continue to give to the matching fund. When you do, we send you a copy of John Townsend's new book, People Fuel. And that, you know, anything John does is stellar. Mm-hmm. And this is no exception. Your Facebook Live people, you can see it on the screen right now. But I always want people to remember why they're giving. And I want to read to you a note we got from a lady just a couple weeks ago. I'm sending a quick note with my $10 gift towards the match that you've been talking about. Like so many others, I wish I could give more. And now she is. And I'm thankful that in this case my gift will be doubled. Thank you to those who are graciously giving me this opportunity. I thought I was managing everything all right until our son had a major break over 2 years ago due to some psychotropic meds he was on. Mm-hmm. My big, strong, I-can-do-everything guy was suddenly unable to get out of bed, work, be a part of his family's life. And though he had no thoughts of harming himself or others and couldn't be admitted to a hospital, I feared for his life and for the daily peace in his home. And his wife and our only grandson. I stepped up to help care for this little boy in addition to my full-time job, meaning her grandson. My husband was only able to work part-time. The burden on me became overwhelming. After having listened to New Life since Meredith Meyer days and hearing the encouragement of all you loving hosts and New Life, I understood that therapy is helpful. I found a wonderful therapist, going to see her weekly for 2 years. I'm on meds that calm my anxiety, and I sleep deeply and completely for the first time in like forever. Mm. So she thanks everybody here for being the voice and help. And I just love this. You know, I mean, her life is different because she listened to a radio program. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she knew what to do when the troubles came.
Absolutely.
And folks, if you can support that, would you please make a gift? If you'll give up to $32,000 today, it will be matched. So we would love it if you could do that. So thank you.
And it's just such a remarkable partnership that when you're donating, when you're contributing, you're actually partnering. And you're partnering with increasing help and healing for those who need it. And as we say, help and healing in life's most difficult places.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank
you. I've taken away too much time from the phone. So
no worries.
Come on back, Dave.
Larry, thank you for everything that you do. We greatly appreciate it. And so back to the phones, and let's go to Maria in San Bernardino, listening online. Maria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Maria, how can we help you today?
Yeah, I just want to know what to do, like, in this situation, because I know I just got married, like, a year and a half ago, and I didn't know that, we were going to church, and my husband, he just stopped going to church, but I didn't know he had, like, an addiction of marijuana.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of, like, I know the Bible says that you should not get a divorce. But there's been, like chaos and stuff. Like, we don't agree, like, on half of the things. When I say something, he never agrees with me. So, and I have children that are not his.
Yeah.
And there's always, like, fighting and stuff. So,
so how can we help you today?
I don't know what to do. Like, because I know the Bible says do not get divorced. So, asking the Lord if it's okay to get a divorce in this situation.
Well, let's do this. Let's put more options on the table for you than just divorce.
Miserable or divorce. Yeah. There's got to be some graduated steps in between. And you've just been married a year and a half. And when you put families together, and now you've got kids, does he have kids?
No, he doesn't have any children.
Okay. Okay, is this his first marriage? Were you married before? This is his second.
Yes,
so you both
I was married. Okay. And he was married also.
So it's a second marriage for both of you. Okay. So in a second marriage, you know, you often find that the stuff that was happening in your first marriages kind of spills over into the second if you didn't do the work to really dig down deep and get to the issues. And so So in the first year and a half, there's a lot of adjustment, right? And in sorting that out, sometimes we need some help for that because it's not easy to put a family together, right? And so what have you done to get help is my question for you, and I'm hearing the music, Chris.
But. Yeah.
Well, we're getting counseling from, like, the pastor at our church, but now he doesn't like to go to that church that I go to, so he has not been going to church.
Yeah. Well, Maria, we're up against the break here. We'll come back to you right after our break. And yeah, we're going to help you start getting some clarifying direction here. So hold on, and we'll be right back.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And we're back. Welcome back. This is Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn. Again, I'm with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. David Stoop. We're talking with Maria. Maria, you're on your second marriage, really difficult situations, not getting along. I just want to reiterate, do you hear what Jill was saying? That when you get remarried and you bring in your kids, like, this is a very, very complicated situation.
You
need help.
It's hard to blend families.
Yes.
It takes a lot of time and effort and intentionality to do so. And it sounds like your husband is kind of checking out. Like somehow he wasn't quite prepared to become an instant family.
Mm. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Right?
And the smoking pot doesn't help that.
Well, right.
It
That's the checking out, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and
like he's trying to cover the pain.
Yes.
Well, or that he just doesn't know what to do. I mean, if he's never had kids before, it is going to feel chaotic to him. He's not used to it, you know?
Well, yeah, he's not.
And if I could speak to this, you know, the pot that is out there today, this marijuana is not your grandfather's marijuana. This is not Woodstock weed, as I call it. You know, this is something completely different. And that's not talked about enough is because these things are this marijuana that's out there is modified for greater and greater and greater potency. And so its strong effects really impact people greatly. And what we're seeing, and what I'm seeing in my office, I'm talking with colleagues about this, is we're seeing such an increase in marijuana-induced psychosis,
right,
as well as really severe mental illnesses that are actually what marijuana is supposed to treat or help with is actually causing. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you, Maria, that it is to set some boundaries with your husband for him to be able to look at this thing in his life, because if he is high, if he's under the influence, he's not going to be able to get to the underneath issues that are impacting the marriage. But you guys need to get into some marriage counseling.
And And I know you've been doing it with your pastor, but if that's not an avenue he's willing to go down, I think you need to get with a professional therapist.
Yeah.
Would be the next step. You know, it's time to take that step, right?
Yeah.
And say, okay, we tried going to our pastor. Now you're not willing. That takes it to a new level. We need to get some help in order to work through this, because just checking out doesn't help our marriage. That's just a recipe for disaster. And that's not, Chris, as you were saying, that's not being wise.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a setup for failure. Why would you want to do that?
Mm-hmm. And nothing will change. And you got to up the ante in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Make it more serious in terms of what you do. Because the other thing I would do, Maria, is I would find an Al-Anon group to go to, because you're dealing with somebody who's addicted. And listen to them, and it doesn't have to be Christian. You can be really helped by a secular Al-Anon group in terms of what to do and how to respond to this kind of a situation.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, so Maria, look at these other options. You know, having an honest conversation with your husband, asking him that he get help for his pot smoking. You can set boundaries, like, hey, if this is a problem that continues that we don't get a solution for, I may have to move out, or you may have to move out for a time.
But that's not what you want, right?
No,
and
no.
I think that you can have some empathy for your husband and say, I understand that this is so overwhelming for you, walking into an instant family, that your desire is just to check out. That makes sense, right? Why he would choose that
when he
feels ill-equipped, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes some understanding of the other side, instead of just being combative and trying them to get them to see your side, can go a long way.
Absolutely.
And getting them to be willing to seek the help, right?
Yeah, yeah. So don't pull the ripcord on the marriage yet.
No.
We're going to send you Take Your Life Back. And again, that's going to really also help you see what may be going on inside of you that you can take ownership and change, as well as looking to make some changes in your marriage as well. So, Maria, thank you so much for calling today. Again, Take Your Life Back is coming your way. Let's get to another call, and let's go to Paula in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on Siri XM. Paula, how can we help?
I just had a comment. I want to thank you for everything you all do. But your caller earlier, Lisa, that was struggling with the depression, just want to encourage her and any of your listeners out there. What you all said is so true. I've suffered with depression since my late 20s. It came on after I had my second child, very severe postpartum depression. That was diagnosed, and since then I've had to be on medication. I, too, was told by people at my church that, and not everybody, but a few select people that I thought were telling me what was good for me, that it was a sin to take the antidepressants. And so I was determined last year, actually, to wean myself off of these antidepressants, because I had a strong faith and God would protect me and I would be fine. And about 90 days later, I did not think I was suicidal, but I didn't want to live. And I just think it's so unsafe for anyone that doesn't have a medical background to be telling someone that. And, you know, when you're that depressed, you will listen to anybody.
Yeah.
And you're that down, and you don't realize that you could hurt yourself, but you don't want to live.
Right.
So I hope she's still listening, and I hope that she does get the help she needs, that medicines are not evil when you're used for the right thing.
Yeah.
And I just really thank you all for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, Paula, for calling and encouraging her.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Paula, we're going to also send you Take Your Life Back just because we appreciate your call.
Yeah.
But it's really important. And I look at these distinctions between what we call common grace and uncommon grace. So here's the distinction. Common grace is the grace that is available to us in everyday life. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if I get an asthma attack and I have an inhaler, that's a common grace. I'm so fortunate, so blessed to be able to access health care that allows me
so
to do that.
So good that God enables somebody to develop that.
He gave us human beings as co-rulers of earth the ability to create life-giving solutions.
Right.
Now, if God decided through an uncommon grace to miraculously heal me, I would take that too.
Right.
But both are grace.
Both are grace. And when you watch somebody who's having an asthma attack, it's frightening.
It's,
you know,
and it can be very easily life-threatening.
And to tell that person to pray in the middle of an asthma attack, that's not the first line of defense here, you know?
Give them religious, spiritual abuse.
Right.
Absolutely. So, Paula, again, thank you so much for your call. Hope our listeners are hearing this, especially those in environment who are skeptical or who are told that it may not be faithful to seek medication in these really serious situations. So, again, thank you. Well, let's go back to the phone calls. And let's go to Mary in Alexandria, Virginia, also listening on WAVA. Mary, how can we help you today?
Hi, I have a question. I can give you the question first, and then I can give you a little bit of background. The question is, how do I approach my daughter's use of weed to manage her anxiety? So she was diagnosed with social anxiety maybe 4 years back. And she was taking medication, and she went away to college. And I just found out that she's using weed to manage her depression. I've talked to her, and I've asked her. She's home for the summer. And I asked her not to work and just to stay home and kind of relax, go exercise, go talk to the pastor at church, which she has done. But I believe that behind my back, she's still using the weed to manage her anxiety. And her anxiety is pretty bad. To the point that even when we go to church, she won't stay after church because she doesn't want to talk to anybody. She needs to exit the building as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So any advice that you can give
and,
me?
And how old is she? She's in college, but how old?
She's 19, and she has she's working towards a major in biology. So she says she did her research before she started taking it and that it's safe. So that's something that's working against her because she thinks she knows that the weed is safe.
Well, I would say first and foremost that there does need to be some education done out there as far as this goes. And I know we got the music, but Dave, you have dealt a lot with families struggling with substance use and addiction.
Well, it's a hard situation. You don't know whether you deal with the addiction or if you deal with the anxiety.
Yeah.
Because they're so intricately involved. I think you got to deal with both of them.
Right. And you get why they take it. It works.
Yeah.
Right?
But it doesn't work
but
in the long run because it'll eventually turn against you and cause what you're treating with it.
Right.
Like a lot of medications and other drugs do. So somehow she's got to get at the anxiety issue and as to what's behind that and understand that. And
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody
has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, this is Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn. With me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. David Stoop. We're talking with Mary, and 19-year-old daughter who struggles with some anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
College student.
First thought that comes to mind for me, Chris, is that what she's doing is she's trying to manage the symptoms, right?
Yeah.
So she's just masking them. She's not really doing anything to help herself with the social anxiety.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I know that they're in colleges nowadays. Their mental health departments are growing because so many college kids really struggle and have problems. And there are social anxiety groups that I have heard of at different colleges. And that would be something that would be important because it helps you to practice some behaviors. It helps you to get some responses to realize, okay, people aren't seeing you as odd or, you know, strange in any way. Mm-hmm. And so you gain some confidence. And that's part of it, is you have to be exposed to those stressors and experience some successes to move through them.
Yeah.
And to be able to manage the social anxiety.
That's so true. I don't think I had social anxiety, a real outburst of it or a large amount of it. But I had enough that when I was in training with group therapy, I took a risk and found out that my thoughts about myself were not accurate.
Right. Mm.
And it made a world of difference in how I viewed myself. Just that one encounter helped. So you never know what your daughter will experience if she gets to working on the anxiety and lets the pot go for a while. Make a deal with her. Part of her deal for relaxing this summer is that she gets into some kind of a group.
Yeah.
And then, Chris and Dave, you know, going to a psychiatrist to maybe do some anti-anxiety medications instead of the pot to help kind of bridge the gap as she's learning to manage it better herself.
So Mary, the thing is what we're telling you is that your daughter is using pot because it works really, really well.
And fast. Right, and she's got access to it.
But she's not going to be able to deal with the underlying issues as if she keeps masking it.
Right. Well, and I just worry about young people and their brains.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Their brains. You know, they're not fully developed before the age of 25. And so you have all those years of doing pot, and what is that doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they can identify what it's doing to the literal brain.
Yeah. And you see the pictures and the holes.
Yeah, Mary, not to scare you, but we were talking at break about this weed epidemic that we're experiencing. And even in our office, is getting phone calls for cannabis-induced psychosis. Right. You know, we see bipolar symptoms. We see increased depression and increased anxiety. And I know that she's getting, quote-unquote, educated. But the
but
same...
She's educated by the wrong group.
That's I'm saying. The same, you know, Big Pot is using the same exact playbook that Big Tobacco used 60 years ago.
True.
There is a lot of money at stake here, you know, and so I encourage you. One resource I would start with is a book called Weed Inc. by Ben Cort. And so it's a great 101 education on what's going on with the weed and cannabis industry and what's behind it. But we're going to send you Understanding and Loving a Person with Alcohol or Drug Abuse or Addiction. And so that is a book that Steve and David, you put together with that. And it just really kind of helps you understand, how do I approach my daughter in these practical ways to get her the help that she needs? And so, Mary, that's going to come your way. Thank you again so much for calling. And
can I just add one more thing,
absolutely.
Chris? Because I always have to add this piece. I think we have to not just offer information and tell them how bad everything is that they're doing.
Very true. Very true.
That we have to try to connect. And it's like, help me understand what it's like for you. Describe to me what you feel. What happens when you get anxious? What are you thinking? And approach it that way so that you have a full understanding before you offer the other information.
Absolutely. I think that's really important, is that, you know, as I say, in our house, we try to connect before we correct.
Right. And it's really hard as a parent. You want to just, I mean, it's hard for me. I just want to jump in there and go, you're doing what? Yeah. You know, like, so.
Yeah.
I have to remind myself.
You're not doing it anymore.
Yes, but that's a really important
try
piece.
Try and change me.
Yeah.
I dare you. It's sort of like an old Western.
Have you been at my house, Dave?
That's great. Well, again, one of the things that we're doing here at New Life is we are offering people really practical solutions to life's most challenging and difficult situations. And so a couple of things coming up. Again, Every Man's Battle, August 9th in Sacramento. If for any reason you can't make that one, we have September 13th in Houston. And they're every single month. But I want to encourage guys out there that are struggling with some area of sexual brokenness in your life, don't wait.
Right.
Just take the step.
Go.
Absolutely. Go.
It's the quickest way to get rid of the shame. Right?
Exactly. Get rid of the shame
and
leave
that
leave the weight behind you, and you're going to wake up to a whole new you, a whole new life, and you're going to be able to connect with God, yourself, and others way more freely. It takes time, but please don't delay in this. We also have Finding Freedom. That's going to be September 20th in Dallas. That one is near and dear to my heart as I get to partner with Steve there and the work that Dave has done as well. And just, you know, entering into freedom through the healing process. Jesus really came with a lot of healing and forgiveness. And really, because he wanted us to live in freedom.
Yeah.
And so we have a process there. It's incredible. And one thing that I'm excited for is, again, 12 Steps to Happier Conference. That's coming up in October.
Ah, yeah,
here
the Recovery Conference. Right?
Yes, it's the Recovery Conference. And Dave, as you know, everyone needs recovery from something.
From something, just from life itself. That's why we called it Life Recovery.
Absolutely.
And in the Full Serenity Prayer, it talks about, help me to be happy in this life and supremely happy in the next.
Absolutely.
And so happiness is a goal in recovery.
And as people engage in the recovery process, Dave, how have you seen happiness increase in their life?
Well, one of the things that I've never understood, really, but I've observed so many times, is that the chaos diminishes.
Mm.
And it almost seems like the chaos was independent on its own, operating before recovery.
Yeah.
Once they got into recovery, the chaos started to ease off and eventually disappeared, which would make anybody happier.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's more peaceful, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Well, and I find that a lot of people struggle with misery as some sort of high spiritual attribute.
Yes.
You know?
Means like, I've arrived.
Yeah, so like we have christened, you know, or blessed misery. And
that's the old church fathers of the 3rd and 4th century, you know. The aesthetics sit on a platform 24/7. For years, that's the ultimate in spirituality, kind of self-flagellation.
Absolutely. Well, even in our suffering, James tells us, consider it pure joy. He said
it's an opportunity.
Absolutely. Right. There's an accessibility to joy even as we're working out life's most difficult things. And so at the 12 Steps to Happier conference, we're going to really hear from a lot of remarkable people on how to increase happiness in our recovery process and access happiness in our daily life. And boy, in our world today, could we use some more happy people.
Yep.
I could use more happiness. I could also use happier friends and families and neighbors as well. So thank you for joining us today. If you're on the line, stay on. And we hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.